Recording now from what I can see, just leave it there. Don't have to do anything.
Hey, how are you? Hi. Okay. I think we're gonna start. Morning, everyone. I'm Rachel. I'm a food addict. Hey, thank you for rolling. Oh, this is instructions for us. Okay. We do. Okay. You silence your cell phone. We have a timekeeper. And begin with a serenity prayer. God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. My name is Rachel, and I'm a food addict. I'm seated with Michael. And we are the co-leaders for this meeting. Each of us will have up to 20 minutes to speak, and then we'll open the room for shares on the topic for up to 3 minutes. The session is being recorded. So, I said I was Rachel, and I'm a food addict. I have been abstinent for, in a couple of weeks, it'll be 22 years. And because this is a double winners meeting and it's relevant, I'm going to mention that, so I've been sober for 32 years, and I spent 10 years in AA with a strong program, and but I wasn't able, it didn't work for my pre-addiction, so the credits didn't transfer. So I'll just say that. I am maintaining a weight loss of 90 pounds, and I'm 5'0", so that's a lot for anyone. It's a lot. So my abstinence is, I'm a big time addict. When I got sober at 29, I had been abusing amphetamine, which was my drug of choice, prescription amphetamine. And part of the appeal, of course, was that it wasn't just that I didn't eat and I lost weight and I had lots of energy and all that. It was honestly that it quieted the food thoughts and the diet thoughts, in a toxic way. But that was one of the reasons it was my drug of choice. So I got clean from that and from alcohol. I had an alcoholic, I had hit a bottom. And I was drinking hairspray at the end. I ended up, I had a strong, strong foundation for my recovery in AA. I went to rehab for 3 weeks, and then I went to a halfway house for 6 months, and then I went to a sober house for 14 months after that. Because of that foundation, I learned how to use AA. It was like sitting in the front, doing service, joining a group, calling your sponsor every day and working the steps. And as soon as I got clean and sober, I gained 50 pounds. So, anybody coming off amphetamine probably is going to gain weight, but this halfway house I was in, we were on it was sort of like the poor man's diet, like macaroni and cheese, and they gave us lots of sweets. And then I had like a sort of recovery daytime job, and I was binging there. My AA sponsor at the time, as my weight was going up, and she was like, oh, don't worry about it. After your first year, you can go to Weight Watchers and take it off. And it was like, that worked for her. So fine, like that does work for people, but not for me. I was just getting distracted. My disease progressed a lot, even though I was clean and sober. So it was like whack-a-mole addiction. And also, honestly, my amphetamine had been keeping my weight down, but my binges weren't as big as they became at the end. But, so from age, I was born with a very slow metabolism. Both my parents died of food addiction. And my, so it was, slow metabolism and, and yo-yo dieting is very, will slow down your metabolism, as will, getting a bottle of amphetamine at the beginning of each month and going through it in a short period of time. I gained and lost 10 pounds every month for 8 years. So that is not good for your metabolism. I really, at 2 years sober, I met my husband, and we were, like, so in love, and for a year, that was my drug. And I, you know, if I ate a little more, I would sort of restrict the next day. For a year, that worked. But after, you know, we've been together a year, I can remember distinctly we had gone down to Provincetown on the Cape. Oh, I didn't say where I was from. I'm from Brookline, Boston area. So we were on our way back from Provincetown on the Cape, and I had a box of saltwater taffy that I was bringing to give to people. And I demolished it in the car right on the way home. And from then on, so at that point I was 3 years sober. It was just all about the sugar. And the next 7 years, I was, somebody said this in another reading, I became a tourist in OA. So my AA sponsor at the time said, you're having problems with food, and because I have no problems with food, but here I'm going to introduce you to my friend. He's in both fellowships. And so, great. So she took me to an OA meeting, and I definitely, you know, I had been to a couple in my lifetime. When I was in college, I had a good therapist who recommended I go to OA, and this was in Manhattan, and I went to this meeting, and there was someone who identified as a heroin addict and an alcoholic and a sex addict and a food addict, and I was like, whew, I don't belong here. And when I went to the first OA meeting that I had gone to since I got sober, I don't know, I was honestly resistant. But I was, I knew that I was a food addict, you know. I just didn't have the willingness. And so, that must have been in 96, 97. As I said, I was like a tourist in OA. There were a couple of meetings like in walking distance from where I lived. And I would, every now and then for maybe 6 months, I would go to like one or two meetings a week. But not really buying, and I knew I had a problem with sugar, but that I also had a problem with flour. I didn't buy the addiction, the actual biochemical addiction piece yet. The flour turns to sugar in your body, and it's as addictive as the sugar. I actually went to treatment for my food addiction, and they called flour time-release sugar. And I liked that. But anyway, the next 7 years, I continued to work AA, and I worked the steps, like, multiple times. I went to AWOLs. I, you know, worked them with my sponsor. I always had an AA sponsor who I called regularly. I was going to, you know, I had a home group in AA, and I was, you know, going to meetings and using the tools. And I was suffering so much with my food addiction, but, you know, I went to OA meeting, and I just was, like, just kind of dipping my toe in the water, maybe, but I was trying to just be like, well, you know what, I'm working the steps in AA, and so that will help. So that's about credit transferring, and it did not at all. Honestly, I believe that I can say that when I did surrender to this, and I did go to a treatment center where they were sending us to OA meetings and everything, but I'm losing my train of thought again. But I already knew how to work a 12-step program. That was what I was going to do. So the credits didn't transfer until I was willing to take step one with ultra-processed foods. Anyway, just to give you an example of how my disease increased over those 10 years of being sober, you know, my binges just got worse and worse, and I could restrict also, so usually when I speak, I didn't want to bring the extra pants with me, but I bring, I have a size 22 pants, okay, thank you, that are about this, that are that big, you can't hear it, and then I have a size 2 pants that I wore in high school when I was bulimic, but I was using sugar just as I had been using drugs and alcohol, and I needed to surrender in this second 12-step program. It didn't work to just surrender in one. So by the end, so the dieting, I was going up and down. I would go to like, you know, Weight Watchers, wherever, and lose some weight. And during the time when I was on a diet and losing weight, I'd be obsessively on it, and I'd be attending an OA meeting or two every week and saying I was abstinent, right? Because I wasn't binging, and my weight was going down. But that was just the other side of my disease. So gradually, as the years went by, the length of time that I was able to restrict got smaller and smaller. But I had been a good restrictor. I was able to do medically approved programs where I had nothing but 5 shakes a day. And I could do that for a few months. And I would lose 3 pounds a week, which is good for me. I'm a slow loser. So it was very seductive. And I would do that. And then after a few months, I would just... And the shakes contained sugar. And after a few months, I just would snap, and maybe I'd lose 30, 40 pounds doing that, and then I would gain it all back plus more. So that kept happening. I went back to that 3 times because it was so seductive how quickly I could lose the weight. It just kept getting worse and worse. So by 2003, so I had 10 years of sobriety in July of 2003, and I was at my highest weight, and I was hitting a bottom. The food wasn't working anymore, in the sense that at the end I was saying, you know what, I'm fat, so I might as well just eat the bleep, whatever I want. And I'd go to a supermarket and go through the whole market and not be able to find the perfect food. But so I was binging on really high-end expensive sugar. You know, there was a fancy cake shop in my town, and I would get like a big round cake and take it home and eat it with a fork and then eat dinner when my husband came home. I was eating candy all day at work, constant sugar. I wasn't able to have a full career. I still needed to have an easy job because I was incapable of using my brain when it was on that sugar. So finally, I'm at 90 pounds more than I weigh now. I'm using money we needed for bills on binge foods. I couldn't stop eating long enough to get hungry. I was constantly hungover from the sugar, you know, not just like the next day, but all day long. So finally, a therapist said to me, you know, I think you need to go away. I went online to try to find a treatment center that took just people that were not anorexics or bulimics, but just overeaters and obese people. And I'm just one place in Florida that's still going strong. And they took people who were obese, and they were 12-step breaks. And I was like, great, because I'm familiar with the steps. I've been working a 12-step program. And they said to me over the phone, they took my history, and they were like, yeah, you qualify to be here. And then they were like, okay, you know we're no flour, no sugar, we measure everything, right? And I was like, okay, I'll do it when I'm there. That was a big step for me. I was willing to do it when I was there. But I went down there on November 17th, and I've been absent since that day. So I don't know why I'm one of the lucky ones that I have been able to maintain sobriety in abstinence without relapsing all this time. I don't know, but I was just struck abstinence that day. It was like the night before I'd been binging on pizza because I knew it was like my last meal before this. And, although I didn't know it was going to be my last meal like that one day at a time for a long time. But I went down there. They had hooked you up with a buddy. So my buddy brought me my first abstinent lunch, which was raw carrots, rice cakes, and veggie burgers that didn't have flour in them. And I remember that very clearly. And again, we had group therapy all day, and then we went to 12-step meetings. We went to OA and we went to one CODA meeting a week because they would say that the biggest factor in relapse for people is our relationships and codependency issues. So that was great. And I came back home and I'd been down there for a month and I just continued to do what they had taught me. And I became active in OA right away, and I stuck to the food plan, and I still have the same nutritionist who I had down there from Florida. She's now the COO of that treatment center, and it's hard to find food addiction savvy nutritionist, so I'm very lucky to have her. She's really amazing. The amount of food on my food plan has come down a lot since I started. I was 39. And now I'm 61, so I'm past menopause, and during the pandemic, I realized my weight had been gradually going up, and my nutritionist drastically modified my food plan, but I did it, because I trusted her, and I can't be in charge of what I'm going to eat, and it's a big relief, because I was always trying to find the perfect diet, and I didn't know what to do, and now I wasn't in charge of it anymore. But I've worked the steps in this. Once I worked them in OA, I really got deeper. And I did like a very thorough, slow path through the 12 steps that took me a couple of years. And since then, I've gone through the steps focused only on body image. I've gone through the steps focused only on my relationship with my mother. That was very helpful because we had a very complex relationship, and by the time she was in hospice at home in my childhood home that's three stories high that I was in charge of, she ended up being in hospice at home for 2.5 years. I was able to give her the best possible care and tell her I loved her every time I saw her because I had worked the steps around my relationship with her. And I'm not saying it was perfect, it's certainly not. Since she's passed, about a year and a half ago now, I sort of realized that when I'm looking at the turnarounds that you do in step four, that I think I still now am able to come to a better understanding of things from her point of view. And I wish I'd been able to do that while she was alive, but I just wasn't. And I had worked the steps. I was working the steps the whole time. Through, while I was in charge of that situation. They're really, really serious addicts. 1 minute left. So 2 weeks ago, I gave up all artificial sweetener for good. And, you know, I've been up and down with that over the years, and it just reached a point. So I've been sort of feeling like what it feels like to be new again. And it's hard, but it's part of my step one now. So... nice water I drink and good seltzer. Thankfully, they have some of that here. And I can't believe that was 20 minutes, but it was. So I work both fellowships now. I think I do more service in OA, but I continue right now. I'm a literature person for my AA group. And I guess that's my story. So I'm going to turn it over to Michael now.
Good morning!
Good morning!
I'm a little interactive. I'm a little more, when I speak, I get a little bit more active, so people that know me kind of crazy. So, timer, when we get to 1 minute, I want you to repeat these words to me. Double winner. What were you going to say?
Double winner.
Okay, thanks. Because you're double winners. When I started, I wasn't a double winner. I was a double loser. I started in Al-Anon 37 years ago. It was a long journey. It took me a lot of years. The word addict, if you had told me 25 years ago and called me an addict, I'd either rip you apart verbally or I'd punch you in the nose. Don't you dare tell me I'm addicted. Don't you dare. Who the hell are you? Second meeting in Al-Anon. Finally got through my head. These people were talking as if I was an alcoholic. I got up in the chair. Back then, Al-Anon meetings were 50 to 70 people strong in Syracuse. The huge meeting, the speaker, they had a gavel. And they said, does anyone want to speak? I said, sure I do. I got off my chair and I go, screw you. Screw all you. Tell me I'm my dad. I don't beat women. I don't cheat on women. I've never belittled a woman. I never choked her to the point she got blue. Screw you, I'm not an addict. And it took me 30 years to say, don't belittle my journey, it's my journey. I value the fact that it takes me time to learn things. I'm stubborn. Many people may not have words that describe the disease, but I have phrases. I can understand. If I said those things, I'm done. If I start saying something like I understand, one of my biggest assets and one of my biggest detriments is I have a brain, and I use it really well. I'm very good at figuring out problems, and I'm very good at reading people. So if I can figure something out, I'm done. When I walked into Al-Anon, I didn't know anything. And my higher power knows me very well. He knows that if I understand things, I won't stay. It keeps me in the dark. Always keep me guessing. I've always got service. Miraculous happens. Right. Most of my sponsors are people I never would have talked to. I'll casually mention to somebody, one of my best Al-Anon sponsors, I casually walking down the steps. There's damn men in this meeting. I don't ever want to. I'll never get a male sponsor. It's going to stink. I was talking to him. He was behind me. Okay, I'll be your sponsor. Meet with me on Thursday morning. I've been my sponsor for 5 years. I mentioned somebody in OA. There are no men sponsors. They don't exist. There's no men here. I can't handle a woman being my sponsor. I just don't have the strength. How do you know? I did a four-step with two women, and that was kind of bizarre. I learned a lot. So out of the blue, this person found me a sponsor from out of state. And he's a sponsor. He's been my sponsor for a year and a half. Patience of God. He needs it. It 30 years to get through the idea that something was wrong with me. When I got there, I have to mention the Al-Anon part. As I said, I was kind of tricked into service, different levels. Amazing I sit here and talk to women because the biggest fear of my life is women. Women always hurt me. Women always destroyed me. So yet, God put me in Al-Anon where it was 95% women. And I got to learn how to say my true me and able to listen to their words and not... Second failure in my life, I was a teacher. I was a French teacher in Watkins Glen. They requested that I leave the area and not come back. Not that I did anything immoral or wrong, but I was not a good teacher. I couldn't handle it. I was an adult, so I failed with kids. So in the infinite wisdom of my higher power, he made me an Alateen sponsor. The first Alateen meeting, I went there. I go, okay, I got to be a person that has your group rep. You got to get this thing done, sign off that you could sponsor teens. Because that's part of your requirement being a group rep. Okay, I'll do it. And the guy goes, oh, there's a meeting, come here. I ain't going all damn meeting with kids. You got your mind. So I'm in this room, I'm shaking, I don't believe teachers there looking at me. I didn't go through that, I wouldn't have found a way. It was those kids that saved my life. Oh, from the heart. And as much as I love y'all, I have been to obey you. I will say unequivocally, there is nothing more real than sitting in a group. Talk about, oh, it's all let go and let God. Oh, let's talk about maybe giving up things or something like that. They talk stuff in the gut, talk about their real feelings. And they're sharing with me, and I'm one of the few adults they share with. So I felt I had to be reeled back. And something wasn't there. Something was missing. Thank God for the patience of a lady named Mary Beth. She was in both groups. She suggested a way to me a couple of times, but she wasn't a preacher. She was just a... And I knew something was wrong with me. That I was hiding. It felt weird when they started talking. I fight with that person. Just me getting beaten up. I felt the difference. The wall. Beth goes, you know, there's a way meeting. Well, there's one on Monday. Do you want to come? No. Tuesday, you want to come? No, I'm kind of Tuesday. But I've been in Al-Anon and Alton. I couldn't say no to this person the third time. I just couldn't. Too much. She was like a second mom to me. I went. And there were people talking about food, doing weird things with food, which I really didn't understand. I just didn't think that was me. But I could hear the steps, and I'd been around 12-step program enough that I could feel that echo. Lack of a better term. You know, there's that echo. You hear that kind of thing, and it's like, I don't know why. These are my people there. So I kept going, and the only thing that got through my head was the word, okay, tell Mary about the plan. I'll lose a boatload of weight. That's what they're talking about. It was or it wasn't. I didn't understand the absence was the means to get to say the word sober. So I'm thinking to myself, well, I've done the steps. I've done the steps with ease. I've done the steps with go ahead. Show me this stuff, right? I know it. I got this. I understand this stuff. But it wasn't working. I lost a boatload of weight. I thought that was going to be the awesome thing for me, and I was skinny. I was good looking. Not that I'm not good looking now, but I was skinny, and I never had women chase me before. There were women chasing me. There was these middle-aged women chasing me hard. I realized the reason I was Contra kind of was like, you got to work to hug a fat guy. If you're going to love me, you're going to prove it. You're going to reach. I was skinny. I couldn't prove it because I had a cute butt. Or maybe I was just nice legs or whatever it was. That didn't mean anything. So then I gave it up. I said, I can't handle this. And I missed it. Fellowship. I missed the... Everything was it. I was in there for a couple of years. It destroyed all my binge foods. They don't taste any good. They don't do anything. I'm wailing on this food and it's not giving me the buzz it gave me anymore. I felt different. It made me sick. I didn't like it anymore. So, no, I don't like that either. It's just not working. So I came back and I knew something had, I realized, look, I'm trying to do it my way. I'm trying to do credit. If I think about the word credit, what is credit is me. I can do this thing. I understand this thing. The amount of ever recovery I've gotten is from here that guides me in little steps. These crazy things. I have all that this morning. I got up really early and I have living therapies. I go home because I'm taking care of my mom. I'm reciting in my head what I'm going to say. I'm still reciting what I'm saying. Okay, this is crazy. I look up 10 miles from Canada in Utica, around and come back. I'd be mad about that. It's my higher power saying, you're not going to be prepared for this. I'm going to screw you. You won't remember what you're going to say. But the message I give this to one of these people in this audience, you're going to know what I said. You're going to go half hour out of your way and charge you not. Graham works. My new sponsor, not new, but Mike, if you want to be sober, you got to read about people who wrote, don't know the answer. So read a book that the answer. So we read the big book, like a textbook. Or else am I going to get knowledge on sober from people that wrote it 50 some odd years ago being sober. So that's my focus now. Is I don't worry about the weight. I don't really worry about the health. I worry at the moment and let me see messages I'm supposed to see. More about being sober. How do I act and not take now and I've done the 4-step about the 4-step in Paris enough with this dude I'll never see again. I've done steps with this person, retreats, I've led retreats. My power says, okay, what you learn? It reminds me quickly that on my own willpower, the best I ever will do with my disease. All I'm going to do. No matter how grand notion it is, no matter what I want, if I'm here speaking because I think I'm all that wise and all that smart and you got to listen to me, I'm not so. I've learned that people who have been in the program 1 minute can teach me who've been in the program for 35 years. To learn that women can share their intimacy with me and I don't have to run screaming out the door. And women aren't there to judge me, and their old teenagers can teach me. A 10-year-old kid can teach me about life more than some 70-year-old guru. being real is more important than trying to produce. They all love me because I somehow it was magical. I was listening and repeating what other wise people have told me. And there comes from a totally different lifestyle from me. But we're not alike at all. We want sobriety, and in that, it's a wonderful journey. And it's about say that and not go crazy. And I'm addicted to food, and I'm probably going to be addicted to anything else I go into. I don't drink because I don't know what to drink. That the food for me changes. It rapidly changes. What bothered me when I first came to this program, a minute today. It bothered me when I first came to the program, drives me nuts. Why do I drink? That's why I don't gamble. I can't think. Forget about the winter now, because I don't know what else to do. It my will, my way. But I lost the opportunity to see what to take my head in the past. Beat myself over the fact that I didn't take the steps seriously, that I didn't care about sobriety. But I know the lingo. I could sit there and sling the 12-step lingo at that. But in my heart, my soul, where was it? Where was God? What was I doing? I have to get on my knees every day and pray. I have to be grateful for all the journey that I had with the up downs and wins and losses and the sponsors that failed me. Sponsors I more failed them, the sponsors I put on, the sponsors I just go on, sees the ghost of me. Look at it two ways. I can look at it as what happened when I'm damaged, or what kind of went the wrong way to can of soda. Was it really the wrong way? Did it teach me just to let go and God will give me the right time? I didn't know I was going to take a bathroom break when I got here. I'm like, I'm not going to make it all in. I'm not going to make it in. Just go. Just don't get hurt. And we'll know that it's being a winner. A winner is being now, in the moment, being aware of what is in front of you, allowing your veil of pride, open my eyes and see the wonderful little things in life. Little miracles I know are out there. I just don't want to see them. Or driving here, I see a big cloud, high power laying over me, comforting me, telling me that I'm going to be okay. Hear the right song. The right person says the right thing. Smiles at you walk down the road. You smile at them. It's not about what job I have or not, whether I have kids, anything like that. Do the next right thing. Be kind. Be considerate. Get them themselves with me without words or gifts. That's sobriety in a winner. And in that case, if I can do that, then I am a double winner. I understand that relationships are related to Tommy. And it's okay to deal with addicts, and maybe that taught me how to be a little more gentle with my about OA that I have a food that I've never met all these people, wonderful people, and all the friends that I have. I'm a double winner. Now I have friends. I have family. I have family I can talk to. I have that loves me and I love them in a way that I never knew love before. That I can sit in a room with people and hear what they say and be inspired and know the next right thing. Make a difference where they come from, whether they're Democrat, Republican, whether they're from Canada, whether they're from Massachusetts, whether they're from downstate, upstate, doesn't make a difference. A message always comes from the last person in the world. I learned is that I need to be a spider. And I make my web out to reach all the other fellows in both programs. Power comes through you, comes through everyone else, and that nourishment I need for that. If I was meant to chase the darn fly, he'd have wings. I make a web. If you would like to share, please form a line at the front of the room. Remind you this session is being recorded and your sharing demonstrates your consent to be recorded. If you wish to remain anonymous, please use a fictitious name or choose not to share. Please say who you are or where you're from and how long you've been in OA. But devote your share to your OA experience, strength, and hope on the topic of this workshop. 3 minutes for sharing. Please open for sharing.
Thank you. My name is Jackie A. I'm from Connecticut, and I have been in OA for 4 years, and I started with my first ever AA experience when I was 19 years old. My stepfather brought me to a men's meeting, because I'm pretty sure I was the only female cis person there, and the room smelled like bad coffee, cigarettes, and that was the first spiritual experience I ever had. And And my stepfather wanted to show me the message that I'm probably an addict too. And I went to college. I didn't drink until I was a sophomore, so I waited 2 years. And did my disease take off? I probably would have been, I'm on the spectrum, on the autism spectrum. I probably would have been one of those RFID kids that was there, nothing could touch on the plate. I only eat this color. This is only my special food. And then, and I learned like drunkorexia that I didn't know the word of until this year. And I used to purposely use restricting exercise bulimia so I would get the full effect of being a cheap addict. Eat your leftovers. I would make sure that I had my blood pressure was nice and low so that way I would be calm. The effect. And then I would hit that insane machismo. I never wanted to hurt women, but I would out-eat a man. Look at him. Go exercise around them and run laps and laugh in their faces after they tell my friends that were 3 foot for me and the money I ate more than you. I did that with pride. I was married to my ex that was an alcoholic, and I could see that he was an alcoholic. I couldn't see that I was. So I've gone to Al-Anon meetings, both hit me hard. And I could really resonate with the adult child of abuse. That's how I learned back about OA. Was I went to a step meeting that wasn't 12 steps, but I learned of 12 steps. Thank you so much. When I was 28 years old, I went to four OA meetings in the back of a church, surrendered a bag of nuts to a nun that went to a meeting, and I said, can you please throw this out for me? She was probably about 400 pounds, and she says, I can't walk that far. Can you watch me do it? Threw them into the garbage. Got inspired by the Wild movie with Reese Witherspoon, out hiking, had a spiritual experience with my nuts, of course, and went out for almost 9 years. So when I came back 4 years ago, I had that mental blank spot of not even knowing OA existed. It took me 4 months to know that I had ever been to an OA meeting. And I didn't consider myself a relapser and deserter. Remember, I came in. Very blessed that I'm with this. I'm happy that I consider myself an OA. But I've had the pleasure of having sponsors that have led me through the inventories of sex and love addiction. That's how I did my fourth step on my patients. I've had a sponsor help me through DA or earning. I can provide for myself. I have a savings that I can last 5 months. I have no credit card debt. I have my car that I can pay off and my house myself. I don't live with an addict. I don't drink. I've never smoked or done drugs. And I'm really, really blessed today to relearn about myself, to know that I have a lot more work to do one day at a time in this program when it comes to food behaviors. But I no longer lick microwaves. I don't slurp off the floor. I cook myself rotten than anybody else. And I don't, I give less people than gotten. And I give myself a lot less hard time. Sober. I'm really grateful to be sober mind, at least for this moment. I can't promise you what I'll be like in a couple minutes. But I really appreciate your spirit, strength, hope, and your realness. And without the other programs, I don't need to knock on OA bear, but with a wrench. And I need straight, the queer person. I need some straight, the disease acute we can be. For that, I pass.
Good morning, I'm Sharon, a food addict and compulsive overeater. Thank you. Yeah, I believe an addict is an addict is an addict. I got into AA first. Oh, I'm the Potsdam, New York group. I've got a sponsor who has a sponsor, and I came into OA in the 80s. I just celebrated 2 years relapser, but now I believe I'm a reliver just for today. I could relate to both the speakers. I remember, you know, before cell phones, I was hiding in the cellar with the phone to my AA sponsor, and I went on and on and on, and I said, yeah, I'll park up with this food. And she said, what about OA? And I wasn't ready. Got me through the doors. Boy, I'd read the little blurb in our plain dealer, our little newspaper, and I was too scared to walk in. The girl in AA, and she came in, Wayne, and I said, you look great. How'd you do it? And shared with me that she goes to OA and then the doors because I was so afraid. I also tried, and at one point, because at the time AA was more fun and we're not a glowing lot, so I used... Oh, thinking, you know, I can just substitute. Whenever we talk about alcohol, I can do that at AA meetings and just say, and it didn't work. I also got into Al-Anon about 15 years ago when my husband picked up and I was leaving with my other programs. I know I was going down, I was drowning. That's peeling another layer of the onion. I'm learning the whole feeling thing. This time around with my food, feelings, and identifying them. Thank you. I'm going to stop right there. Thanks.
Thank you.
Hi, I'm Bobby, a food addict from Massachusetts, the Boston area. So I was raised in a family where my parents were not drinking. Neither one was alcoholic. I don't want to take their inventory, but, you know, I think my dad was a food addict, but one that was not like me. You know, he's more under control to some extent. He always carried a little extra weight. He used to call himself a gourmand and not a gourmet because he liked amounts. But my mom made sure he didn't eat too much. There you go. But my mother, when my father got sick with Parkinson's and wasn't able to be as round as much, my mother picked up the alcohol. My mother was not a drinker growing up at all. And I had no idea what was going on. I was so ill-equipped for that kind of behavior. And somebody at where I worked at the time said to me, you need to get to an Al-Anon meeting. And doctors told me that too. So that's actually what I did. I went to an Al-Anon meeting. But I couldn't get it because I didn't really relate to what these people are talking about because that's not how I was raised. However, somebody at OA came to that Al-Anon meeting and mentioned OA. And I sat there when they said, I'm powerless over alcohol. And I heard a voice say to me, Bobby, you do the same thing with sugar as your mom is doing right now with the alcohol. Now, my mom had stopped drinking by that time. And that's how I came into OA. And because I hadn't done any step work or anything. I didn't even have a sponsor at the Al-Anon thing. I think it was only there for maybe a year or something, but it did help me. I'm not going to lie. It helped me to put some boundaries around behaviors of my mother's at the time. So I came into OA. But then I discovered I had a money problem. And so I had to go to DA. And I am telling you, that program definitely, definitely, my 25 years in OA did not transfer to make it easy for me to do. I've been in DA for a while. I've got a DA sponsor, although I think I need to get a new one right now. But anyways, man, oh man, there's a reason why they call that the graduate program of 12-step programs. But I did work that program, and I do have money now. I don't have, my car had been taken away, and because of that program, I was able to buy a brand new car because I saved money, and I don't have crappy credit, but I still can't take what I've learned in OA, I'm telling you right now, and apply it to that or, you know, any of those kind of things. So, no, the credits do not transfer. OA has saved my life, and if it wasn't for OA, I wouldn't know I have other problems, and I do know that. I also can identify, for me, I am alcoholic, but I didn't think I was, because I'm a binge drinker. So, you know, I'm not alcoholic, because I don't drink every day. What's the big deal, you know? I didn't realize that there was such a thing as binge, that I'm still alcoholic. So I'm pretty ignorant, is what I'm trying to say. And I could be addicted to anything. Right now I've got to watch news, stay away from that a little bit because that disturbs me too much. I have to be careful about how much time I want to play on the games, you know, on my stupid phone. I can lose myself in anything. And I do work with teenage kids, and my students are on the autism spectrum disorder. Love my students, but teenagers can be tough. I just want to share that. Thanks.
I'm Edie. I'm just claiming my seat here. I come from north of Boston, and I've been in OA for 28 years. And I've only had real, true, not fling around, back-to-back abstinence for about 11 months now. And I came into 12-step programs. I'd heard about OA at work in the 80s, and I thought the idea of a 12-step meeting was really neat, but I didn't qualify for any of them. to qualify. 15 questions, I didn't qualify. But in 1990, in the newspaper, I saw an Al-Anon ACOA meeting, and they said, in a little blurb, didn't have to have alcoholic parents. And I said, thank you, God, where I can go to talk about the mess I grew up in. And I did for 10 years. The weird thing about it was that every time the meeting ended, I wanted to go out and get a candy bar. I thought there was some connection, but I just didn't get it. I got abstinent. I think it's for good, God willing. I came into OA in 1998 or 9, I can't remember now. And I know it's been 28 years because I figured it out recently, but it still doesn't stick. Anyway, I didn't understand this whole addiction thing. I didn't buy any physical connection in the brain, blah, blah, 1 minute, thank you. And anyway, I argued about powerlessness and disease and all these definitions on manageability and blah, blah, blah. All up here. I lived in my head all my growing up where I grew up. But anyway, so I'm thrilled having a sponsor, and I'm doing so well in my OA program and all that. And August, I saw Clutterer. I had heard about that. I had gone to a meeting once in Boston days ago, and I thought, what do they have on their website now? They had 25 questions, 21 with a yes. Other disease, I can't stand it. I just can't stand it. And I spoke to my sponsor, and she said, on the right path. Was it? We're on the right path. And I'm doing the big book step study. I'm working on my turnarounds, and I'm just basically said, for this one meeting that I like on Zoom, and I will do what I can. I did a declutterathon around Labor Day, and I got stuff done. And still just, you know, trying to comprehend all of this stuff and how to fit it all together. And I'm very grateful.
I'm sorry, it's 9:29. I'm so sorry. Please, speak to somebody after the meeting if you didn't get a chance to share. Thank you for attending the workshop. We'll close with a serenity prayer. Grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. Keep coming. I better turn this off.
More and more diet soda.
It's brilliant.
And putting sugar syrup in my coffee and everything.